You're listening to an audio sermon from Harvest Bible Chapel in Toronto West. For more information, visit harvesttorontowest.ca.
Well, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, if you've placed your trust and faith in Jesus Christ, if you've turned from your sins and repentance and trusted Jesus Christ as Lord, then the reality of God's word is that you belong to Jesus Christ. If you've done that, you've given him your life, then you belong to Jesus Christ. But not only do you belong to Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that you, in fact, belong to the body of Christ, which is the church of Jesus Christ. You can't belong to Jesus Christ and not belong to the body of Jesus Christ. It's impossible. So if you belong to Jesus Christ, you belong to the church of Jesus Christ. It follows that you and I then belong to each other. We belong to each other. We are, the Bible tells us, members of one another. It means that you and I not only belong to each other, you and I are connected to each other. We are members of one another. Now, you may be sitting here and saying, well, hey, I don't even know you. I'm not connected to you. This is my first time here. I've just been coming a few weeks. I mean, I like coming to the service, but to Jason, I don't really know you. I don't want you to tell me that I belong to you. I don't want you to tell me that I belong to this person sitting next to me. I don't even know who they are. And I just want you to know that regardless of how many people you know in this particular church, regardless of how comfortable you feel with me or with others in this church, it doesn't change the biblical truth or the reality that if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you belong to the church, you belong to me, and I belong to you. We belong to each other. We are members of one another. And so what we want to begin to think about is moving from this Western world mentality of church, which is I come to church on Sunday and then I do my own thing Monday to Saturday. We want to move away from that towards a biblical understanding of church, a biblical understanding of the body of Christ, which is I don't just come to attend and walk away. In fact, I belong to you, you belong to me. We are members of one body, and the Bible tells us Jesus Christ himself is the head of the body, the church. And so it is really, really, really unbiblical. It is really, really, really not true for us to come to a service and walk away and not feel like we're connected to anyone else. It's not the way the body was designed to function. And we're going to see it in God's word in a few moments. If you have a Bible, you can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 14 to 20. And before I read it, I just want to pray. Father, right now in the name of Jesus Christ, we bow to you because you are worthy of our worship. We love you. Lord, we want you to speak to our hearts today. We want you to do something new and profound in our lives today through your word and through the movement of your spirit in this room and in this place. I thank you for the many that are gathered in this room today. I thank you, Lord, that you know everyone by name. You know everyone according to their needs. You know everyone, the things they're challenged with, the things that they're suffering with. You know everyone that experienced joys and victories this week. You know everything, and you know everyone. And I thank you, Jesus, that today you desire, through your word, to bind us together even closer. And I pray, Lord God, this would be a turning point for some. This would be a turning point for our church. And what you do today, Lord, would cause this church to bear much fruit for the glory of Jesus Christ. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. If you agree, say amen. 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 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 14 to 20. If you don't have a Bible, you can slip up your hand and one of the ushers would love to get a copy of God's word to you. If you don't own a Bible, that Bible will be our gift to you. You can take it home and keep it. We just want you to read it and have your life changed by it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 14 to 20. The Apostle Paul writes this to the church in Corinth. He says, "For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not make it less any part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. Paul is giving quite profound illustration here to describe what the church of Jesus Christ is like. And I want you, as you approach this message, to come with a really open heart. Because I know that there are people here from different backgrounds and different church contexts. Some of you, this is maybe your first time in church. Some of you, you haven't been part of a church and you've never, ever realized what it means to be part of a body where you belong, where you connect. Some of you have come from churches, you've been in church all your life and you've never known what it means to actually belong to a body who actually cares for each other and loves one another, who actually fit together like a body. And some of us come with that mindset and that mentality. I want you to come with an open mind, an open heart, because you belong here if you're a child of God. You belong here in the church of Jesus Christ if you're a child of God. You don't belong on the outskirts. You don't belong on the fringes. You don't belong far away in a corner somewhere. You belong right here in the midst of what God is doing. Some of you are in this place today and you're like, I don't even want to belong here. I'm just here. I like attending and leaving. I don't even want to belong. I just want you to know you belong here too. Whether you realize it or not, you belong here too. And so the nail I want to drive home this morning is this: we belong to each other, and you can jot this down. This is where we're going to start. We belong to each other. Every single one matters. Every single one matters. I can't say this enough. Every single one matters. I'm looking at all these faces. Every single one matters. Every single one matters. And I need you to say in your own heart, I matter. If I belong to Jesus Christ and I belong to the body of Christ, I matter in this body. Every single one matters. Notice verse 14 to 16. Paul says, "For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body." As I said, the Apostle Paul is presenting a remarkable illustration here to address the church in Corinth and all of us today. He refers to the church as a body, and each member of the church is likened to a member of the physical body. So you have to think in terms of this analogy throughout the remainder of this message, because this analogy is simple, yet it's profound. It's simple, yet it's brilliant, and yet God is using it in his word to project to us what exactly the church of Jesus Christ should look like and should be like, what we should be like as members of the body. Now, considering the context of the Corinthian church, it was absolutely necessary for the Apostle Paul to convey to the people in the clearest way what the church is like, how the members of the church should operate, how they should view themselves, and how they should exist within the context of the church. Notice on the screen for you, 1 Corinthians 1, verses 12 to 13. See, the Corinthian church was a divided church. More specifically, it was divided over their own leadership. Listen to what Paul says at the beginning of the letter. "What I mean is that each of one of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul?" See, the people in the church in Corinth were giving prominence to certain leaders over others. They were dividing. They were saying, we're going to follow this guy. No, we're going to follow this guy. And there were different camps being created in the church in Corinth. And the Apostle Paul's coming to them. He's writing them saying, listen, you need to understand what this thing called church is like. This church cannot be divided. It doesn't make sense for the church to be divided. Why? Because it is one body.
An arm can't be severed from the body going this direction. A leg can't be severed going this. It's one body functioning as one unit. And so he's addressing a church that's divided, and particularly they're choosing which leader they want to follow. They want to go this way, that way, that way. And Paul's like, hey, was I crucified for you? Of course not. It was Jesus. We followed Jesus ultimately. We're one body following the person of Jesus Christ. But not only were they giving unhealthy prominence to their pastors and leaders over Jesus Christ, they were giving unhealthy prominence, listen, to certain gifts. Certain gifts in the context of 1 Corinthians 12 is very much spiritual gifts. And so they're saying, this person has this gift and that's given prominence. And all these people were looking at their own gifts and they're saying, well, I don't have that gift. I want that gift. And they were beginning to give prominence to certain gifts. And Paul's trying to convey to them, listen, we are all in this together. We are one body. Every single one matters. You have that gift. You have this gift. You do that. You do that. But we are all so very important to the body of Christ, because we belong to each other and every single one matters. The church is like a physical body. The last time I checked, every single part of the body is absolutely necessary in order for the body to function at its best. You think about your own body, you begin to realize every part of your body matters. The person who relies on eyeglasses understands this. You understand that when your vision is not at its best, your whole body is not at its best. If you can't see clearly, you begin to bump into things. You're going to stub your toe. You're going to maybe be walking down the street and you're not going to know where you're going. See, every part matters. The person who relies on a hearing aid maybe can understand this. They understand that when your hearing is not at its best, your whole body is not at its best. You'll be walking down the street and you don't hear the resounding horns honking at you. You're going to get hit by a car. You don't hear. That's going to surely impact your whole body. If you've ever injured a foot, a hand, a finger, a toe, a knee, a back, an elbow, if you've ever lost full functionality of even the most seemingly insignificant part of your body, you know that every part of your body matters. Have you ever hurt your pinky finger? You know, when I was in high school, I used to play high school basketball, I hurt my pinky finger. Man, I tried to dribble the ball. I couldn't even dribble. I had to use my other hand because I couldn't even dribble a ball. That one little pink, you think you can dribble a basketball. You have the rest of your hand. You have your whole palm. But the pinky finger was so instrumental. I could not put the ball on the floor with this hand because of this little pinky finger. Because every single part of the body matters in the effectiveness and the usefulness of the body. This is the illustration the Apostle Paul is using to convey to a church that's divided how unified they must be and how they must celebrate the diversity of their gifts and the diversity of their personalities and the diversity that exists within them, because there is no one more important than another in the body of Jesus Christ. And so I say all of this to say, if you've been coming here and you're here just attending and walking away, or you're not getting plugged in, or you're not getting, I just want you to know, you matter. You may think to yourself, oh, they're not missing me. Nobody even, we're missing you. We're missing you because, listen, the body functions at its best with each part of the body in use and in good health. So I want you to jot this down. Every single member matters. Write this down. You have gifts. Discover them. You have gifts. Discover them. On the screen for you, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 7 says, But each has his own gift from God, one of one kind and one of another. The Bible tells us that not only do we have individual gifts in the body, but these individual gifts function together. And you and I all have gifts. You may be here today and you don't know about the gifts that you have, but you all have gifts and we're called by God to discover them. Every single one has a gift. Every single one in this room has something to offer. Every single one. So you may be sitting here saying, well, do I have something to offer? I don't think I have anything. I'm telling you, every single one. And so the exhortation to you is discover them. You have gifts, discover them. Now you may be sitting here saying, well, I want to know my gifts, but I don't know what they are. How can I discover them so that I can be part of the body? How can I discover these gifts so that I can function as part of the body? I want to do that, but I don't know how to discover them. Well, let me give you a few things that could help. Number one, you want to learn to discover your gifts. You need to learn to begin to examine Scripture. Examine Scripture. Now, we're not going to have these scriptures on the screen, but I want you to write these down. Some significant passages of Scripture that highlight for us spiritual gifts. And you want to examine Scripture, you need to write these things down. Romans chapter 12, verses 6 to 8. Write that down. Romans 12, verses 6 to 8. Examine it. Ephesians 4, verse 11. Examine it. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 to 11. And 27 to 31. You want to be someone who is not just kind of looking like, how do I identify my gift? Well, we want to go to God's word and see what God's word has to say about the gifts that he has applied in the body of Jesus Christ. And so if you want to learn to discover what your particular gifts are, examine Scripture. Secondly, write this down. Listen for the affirmation of mature believers. Listen for the affirmation of mature believers. You're sitting here today, you say, I have no idea what my gifts are. I don't know which part of the body I am. I don't know if I'm a hand or a foot. I don't know where I'm going to be useful. Here's a helpful thing. Listen to affirmation of mature believers. I remember I've shared this story so many times, but this is so critical for my own life. I was 14 years old, had no idea at all what my gifts were. None. And if you told me when I was 14 years old that I would be standing here right now, I would say, impossible, impossible, of course not. I would never do that. That's not me. That's not my gift. I was shy. I was insecure. I was fearful. I could never open my mouth and speak in public. I was one of those kids who stand up in public school, you know, you had to do speeches. I dreaded that. I used to stand there and I would tremble at the thought of opening my mouth. I'd hyperventilate. I couldn't control my breathing. If you told me at that time that you would be standing up and speaking to people regularly, weekly, consistently, I'd say impossible. I didn't know that was my gift, but when I was 14 years old, my youth pastor came up to me. He saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. A mature believer in my life, he called me into his office. He said, Jason, you're a leader. And I was like, what? I'm not a leader. And he asked me to speak at the youth group. I'm like, I'm not a leader. I can't speak. I can't, you know, But the affirmation of mature believers, and then all throughout my journey, people coming from different sides and affirming certain gifts, we need to be paying attention to the affirmation of mature believers. Now, you may be sitting here and you think you have a certain gift, but if nobody's affirming that, if there's no mature believers in your life affirming that, then we need to continue to take that to prayer. You say, well, I think my gifting is to be on the worship team. I think that God wants to use my musical singing voice. And you're singing, but there's nobody affirming that. They're just like, maybe you should try something else. You know, but see, you need the affirmation of mature believers, right? To guide you along, to say, this is what I see in you. And press into the affirmation of mature believers. Thirdly, very practical, take a spiritual gift survey. You know, I know many people in our church that have done this and have discovered their gifts by doing this. You can find it on our website, harvesttorontowest.ca, under resources. Take a spiritual gift survey. Then you can ask the question, what type of serving brings me greatest joy? You can ask that question, because where you are gifted, where you are called, you'll find yourself finding great joy in the use of the gift. What brings you great joy? If you're sitting there trying to find out if you're an administrator, but you're like, I hate this. I'm having such a hard time doing this. And maybe it's not your gift. But if you're doing something like administration, and there's people in this church that I'm not like this, but there's people in the church that they sit at a computer and they love spreadsheets. And they love doing, they just like, I put a spreadsheet in front of them. They're like, yes, praise the Lord. I love this. And they're like, you know, well, that's your gift. That's your gift. You put a spreadsheet in front of me, I want to run away. I don't want to look at this. I want to erase that thing and just get, you know. Well, we need to ask what brings you the greatest joy. And then lastly, don't hesitate to try something. Don't hesitate to try something. If you're sitting here today and you're thinking to yourself,
I don't know what my gifts are. I think it may be this. I think it may be that. Well, why don't you go ahead and try something? Why don't you get online to harvesttorontowest.ca? Why don't you go to the Work for Christ page and sign up to serve somewhere? Sign up to serve and just begin to serve. And you'll begin to see God showing you and clarifying the areas that he has called you to serve in your gift, in your part of the body. Every single one matters. That's why I'm taking time to lay out these practical things, because I want you to know every single one matters. In this church, every single one matters. We belong to each other. You have gifts. You have gifts. Discover them. Secondly, you can jot this down. Every single member matters. Use your gifts. Don't neglect them. Use your gifts. Don't neglect them. On the screen for you, 1 Timothy 4:14 says, do not neglect the gift you have. Do not neglect the gift you have. I wonder if there is anyone in this room today and you've neglected the gift you have. I wonder if there's anyone in this room today, you've put it on the shelf because you feel like you're not part of the body. You feel like it's good enough just to attend here and then go and do your own thing and not get connected. But listen, you belong here. We belong to each other. Do not neglect the gift you have. Now, there are three kinds of people in this room today. The first category of people are those who are not using their gifts to serve the greater body. And God is calling you to change that today. I'm just telling you, God is calling you. If we're a body, some of us are hands, some of us are feet, some of us are eyes and ears, some of us do different things. Listen, if we're a body and we understand the analogy, God is calling you to change that if you're not using your gifts. And he wants to bring clarity to that. The second category of people are those who are using their gifts to serve the greater body. Praise the Lord. God is using you. If you're using your gifts in this local church, you're using your gifts, praise the Lord. God is using you. I can't tell you how many times I drive into this parking lot and with tears coming down my face, I see the many people that God is mobilizing, the many people that God is raising up, the many people God is using. And I say, praise the Lord. You need to know God is using you. It's not unnoticed in the eyes of God. He affirms your gift. He uses you. He empowers you. But listen, there's a third category. And this is a category of people who have identified their gifts, perhaps, but are not using their gifts because they're having difficulty finding the right opportunity. And you may be sitting here today, you say, okay, Jason, I know my gift, I've discovered them, I want to use my gift, I'm not using it, I want to use it, but I don't know exactly where, I don't know exactly how, I don't know where to plug it in, I don't know how to use my gifts. I want to speak to this group of people for a second, because the more I get to know this church, the more I realize that I'm preaching to a group of people, more often than not, who are so passionate and so desirous to serve the Lord, as opposed to some pastors who stand up in front of congregations who are complacent and lazy and don't want to do anything. I realize as I talk to you more and more, as we go through week after week after week, I realize more and more this church is full of people who are fired up and excited, who want God's word, who want God's will, who want to serve Jesus Christ. So maybe you're here today, you're saying, I want that, Jason. You don't have to preach that to me. I want to use my gift, but I don't know exactly where to plug it in. Here's what I would say to you as you search for opportunities to serve. And this may be a turning point for some of you. Number one, jot this down. Be informed. Be informed. Speak to a leader or a mature believer in the church. Maybe you just think there are no opportunities, but there are opportunities. I can't tell you how many times I've sat across the table in a coffee shop from someone, and they're telling me what they want to do, and their gifting, and their passion. And I'm like, you don't understand. We've been praying for someone to fill that need. We're asking the Lord to send us people who can do that very thing. They didn't know about it until they opened their mouth and begin to ask questions and get informed. What are the needs of this church? What are the ways that I can function and use my gifts? And I love this church so much because I'm telling you, it's not one or two times, but I meet with people so often and they're like so eager to serve. Where can I use my gifts? Where? Sometimes we have to work really hard to figure that out. But be informed. Ask. There may be an opportunity that you just don't know about. Secondly, jot this down. Be faithful. not only be informed, be faithful. Luke 16:10, Jesus says, "One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much." Before God puts you over 10, you must show that you can be faithful with 5. Before God puts you over 100, you must show that you can be faithful with 50. Before God puts you over thousands, you must show that you can be faithful over hundreds. Be faithful, loved ones. Be faithful. I remember my first opportunity to serve in a pastoral role. And I remember having just such a desire to see that particular church be a church of prayer. Just like here, just like here. That burden in my heart to be a church of prayer. And I remember in that church calling for a prayer meeting and just casting the vision and opening God's word and preaching about this thing that I believe so firmly in, prayer. And I remember calling for a prayer meeting. I remember praying and preparing for the prayer meetings. Listen, not once, not twice, like many prayer meetings. I remember praying and going on, "Lord, stir this church, stir these people to come and be part of this prayer meeting. Lord, do something special." I remember I would pray and prepare, and I would get to the church early, and I would set up all the chairs and lay it all out, and I'm ready. And then prayer meeting starts, and it's like there's like 3 people there. And then sometimes like 5 people, and then sometimes it's like 1 person showed up. And sometimes it's like me and Aileen sitting there by ourselves and our little baby at the time, Josiah, sleeping in his car seat. We're sitting in the room and I'm thinking to myself, what are we doing? What is going on? And God said, "Jason, be faithful. You keep setting up the chairs. And you keep being faithful. You keep casting the vision. You keep praying for people. You keep preaching God's word. You keep praying." "What do you mean, what are you doing, Jason?" "You're here. You pray with this small group of people. You be faithful as if there's a room of 1,000 people. You be faithful with that 1, 2, 3, 5 people. You be faithful." I remember that. I remember that. I remember it, loved ones, when we have our prayer meetings and I see a room full of people here at Harvest. And I remember when it was just me and Aileen sitting there. I remember we get opportunities to join together with a bunch of other churches, and sometimes I get the privilege to stand up in a prayer meeting, remember, like the one in September. There's 1,000 people in the room. And I'm thinking to myself, God says, "Remember, Jason. Remember 2 people, 1 person. Remember." And I say, praise the amen, amen. Amen. I say that to say this, loved ones. Some of you are discouraged, and some of you just need to be faithful. Just be faithful with what God has put it in front of you. You're part of the body. You belong. We're all instrumental parts of the body. Listen, be faithful with the little. And we must be faithful with little before God will entrust us with much. Thirdly, be informed, be faithful. Thirdly, be humble. Be humble. Notice on the screen for you, Luke 17:7-10. "Will any one of you," Jesus says, "who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep, say to him when he has come in from the field, 'Come at once and recline at table'? Will he not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me and dress properly and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you will eat and drink'? Does he thank the servant because he did what he was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty.'" And I want this mentality more. Jesus is trying to illustrate, don't have a sense of entitlement. Be humble in your serving. Be humble in your serving. He's trying to illustrate here this wonderful truth. Be humble. We've only done our duty. Well, sometimes we serve and we think, "Oh, look what I've done and look what I've achieved and this church needs me." And listen, be humble. While you have a valuable part, you will be most effective in the posture of humility. Be humble and say, "We are just unworthy servants, and it's unbelievable that God wants to use us." As you're searching for opportunities to serve and use your gifts, be informed, be faithful, be humble. And then finally this may be for you now, be patient. Be patient. Sometimes being faithful over little becomes being impatient and ungrateful and proud because of the little. I'm saying be faithful over the little and be patient, lest we, instead of being faithful over the little, we become impatient because of the little. We become bitter because of the little. We become restless because of the little in an unhealthy way. Be patient, loved ones. Faithfulness is what God desires. And patience, as we wait on Him, God will use you. God will use you. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and under His mighty hand, and He, at the proper time, will lift you up. But be patient, loved ones. And some of you need to hear that because you have such a burden to serve God. And you want to plug certain gifts in certain ways, but maybe the opportunity is not prepared for you yet. Maybe the Lord is saying, this is what I have you doing right now. Be faithful with this. Be humble in this. Be informed and be patient. The God who started a good work in you will carry it forward to completion. He will. He will. And I believe that what God has entrusted to us now, He's encouraging us. He's exhorting us. Be faithful with this right now. Be faithful. God has done so much, but how much more will God do in our church with people who understand we belong here. We are important here. We are all parts of the body. We can be faithful with what God has given us now. We will sacrifice in ways that God calls us to sacrifice. And God will expand our influence. God will expand our impact. God will expand this ministry for the glory of Jesus Christ in the way that only He can. Just be informed, loved ones. Be faithful. Be humble. Be patient. Every single member matters. You have gifts. Discover them. Use your gifts. Don't neglect them. And then finally this. We need your gifts. Don't compare them. We need your gifts. Don't compare them. Back to our text. Back to our text. Notice 15 and 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body, saying, doesn't matter what you think. The reality is you are a part of the body. We need your gifts. Don't compare them. He goes on. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. You see what Paul is doing here? He's making a connection. He's saying, you may think you don't belong because your gift is not important. It doesn't make the truth any less powerful that you do belong. My hand can say all at once, I don't belong. I don't. No, you do belong. Look, you're here. Listen, that's how it is in the church. You may be sitting here and you come here on Sundays and then you leave and you're like, I don't have anything to offer. I have nothing to give. I'm not connected in a small group. I'm not plugged in a ministry. I don't belong. I like to attend, but I'm saying to you, you can say that all you want. It doesn't make it any less true that you belong here. Why? Because of the analogy of the body. It sheds light on us. Why? Because you do belong here. Because you belong to Jesus. We belong to each other. We belong to each other in a way that cannot be, we can't be separated from each other. Just like my arm can't be separated from my body, neither can we be separated from each other. So, some of us are feet, some of us are hands, some of us are eyes, while others are ears. And so often, and even unintentionally in the church, certain members of the body are given prominence while others are downplayed. Certain members are given prominence. We don't realize that we do that. Maybe we do realize that we do that. Maybe the Lord is illuminating your heart right now. You're giving prominence to certain members of the body and certain gifts, but we're all equally important. We all have different roles, and each role is so vital. No one in this room is indispensable. No role is indispensable. There is only one that is indispensable. His name is Jesus Christ. He's the only one. He's the only member of the body that is indispensable. Notice on the screen, Colossians 1:18. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the only one that is indispensable, Jesus Christ. No one else is indispensable. So, practically speaking, where's my friend Matt? Matt Chapman, stand up for me, Matt. Listen, if Matt doesn't show, do you appreciate Matt's ministry? Do you? Yeah, I do too. Hey, you can sit down. I know you're getting uncomfortable. You're a humble guy.
See, if Matt doesn't show up, practically speaking, we have a problem, right? If I get into the office Tuesday, Matt's not there. Matt, we got to plan the service. Where are you? Okay, Matt doesn't show up on Wednesday. Matt, we got to get things in order. We got a service to put on Sunday. If Matt doesn't show up, we have a problem practically. If he doesn't show up here, we have a problem. Who's going to lead singing, right? We have a problem practically. But listen, listen. In reality, if you don't show up, we have a problem. Listen, in reality, practically speaking, we can point to me, we can point to Matt, we can point to all the people that were up here, all the people that are up here God is using so powerfully. Practically, if we don't show up, okay, if I don't show up, who's going to preach? Sure, practically we have a problem, but in reality, if you don't show up, we have a problem. Why? Because it's like my foot not showing up, and I can't get out of bed. It's like my brain not showing up. It's part of my body. It's like my brain not showing up. It's like my pinky finger not showing up. I have a problem. But the thing is, we tend to focus on these the members that have, and we give prominence to certain members. And I'm trying to say to you something that I hope and pray right now that God uses in your life. You may think that if me or Matt or whoever that's up here doesn't show up, we have a problem. I'm telling you, if you don't show up, we have a problem. If you're not plugged in, we have a problem. If you're not in a small group, we have a problem. If you're not using your gifts, we have a problem. Because when one member of the body is not being used to its fullest potential, the entire body is not being able to walk forward in its full potential. Do you understand that? Every single one has a gift. Every single one in this room. We need your gifts. Don't compare them. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ through faith and repentance, you belong to the body of Jesus Christ, whether you like it or not, whether you realize it or not. And this understanding for us will become massively significant. If you're tempted to think to yourself right now, I get it. I hear it. I see the analogy in Scripture, but really, really, you're thinking in your heart, no one's going to miss me. I'm saying to you, we're going to miss you. We are missing you. So many people in this room today, we're missing you. We're missing your gifts. We're missing your talents. We need you part of the body for the glory of Jesus Christ. And this should cause many of us in this room to think very seriously about where we're at and how we are living as it pertains to this thing called church. Notice verse 17 to 20. Paul says, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? Important questions to think about. If everyone were a preacher, where would the counseling be? If everyone were a counselor, where would the administration be? If everyone were an administrator, where would the hospitality be? It's like, you got to see this. I pray, Spirit of God, please give us insight into this. Jason is not the most important piece in the puzzle because he preaches. This is my job. But not. Imagine all of us were preachers. That we'd have a problem. But there are things that you do. There are things that you offer that I could not do. That's why I drive into the parking lot and there's tears in my eyes so often because I look around. I can't do that. I couldn't do that. I can't do that. I can't do what you're doing. I'm doing what I can do and you do what you can do. And look at the beautiful thing that God does with the body. That's why I'm so, amen. You can clap. I'm so aware, church, you need to understand, I'm so aware that there are people in this room today, you can do things. You're gifted in ways that I cannot do. I don't have those gifts. Matt has certain gifts. Our staff has certain gifts. But listen, the entire body needs to be employed to be at our best. And as we think about reaching out into Lakeshore Village and the surrounding community, as we think about being effective with evangelism, as we think about being compassionate in our community, as we think about being a church that is preaching the gospel without apology, we need to be able to think broader than the preacher does that. We need to think broader than the elders do that. We need to think broader than the small group leaders do that. We need to think in terms of, I have to be part of it, because the body is not going to get from point A to point B without every single member on board. And so God is calling you today, loved ones. Are you on board? Are you willing to move from attending to belonging? Are you willing to move from simply Sunday morning attendance and walking away to plugging in, connecting in the way that God has given you opportunity to do that? And God will use every single one in this room in a different way. But God will use you. And he has great things in store for our church. I believe that. So what comes to your mind when you think about Harvest Bible Chapel? You think about that. What comes to your mind when you think of this church? Is it a place to come once or twice a week? Or is it your home? Is it a body? Is it a body that you are a member of? Is it a body that you belong to? Is it a body that you're committed to? Is it a body that you function sacrificially in? Maybe you're new here, maybe you're not. But we belong to each other, every single one. If we're going to see these empty chairs here filled with new believers in Christ, we need the whole body on board. If we're going to see the mission advance, if we're going to see this mission of glorifying God by making disciples advance, we need everyone on board, every single one. Everyone is important. And what's your role? Let's pray. If you don't have to move around, please don't. I know that there are some that do. Just wanted to think about this for a second. Think about how you've been understanding this thing called church. Think about all that God has done already, not even 2 years old, this church. Think about what God can do with a group of people who are saying, we belong here, we belong to each other. We're not going to play games anymore. We're not going to be apathetic anymore. We're not going to be complacent anymore. We're not going to be self-centered anymore. We're going to be part of the body. We need feet to begin walking. We need hands to begin doing. We need eyes to begin seeing. We need ears to begin hearing. We need hearts to begin beating faster than ever before. We need that. And God will do it. And I believe right now, even in this moment, God will do it in your life. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus for each one in this room. Oh, how I thank you so much for every single person. I thank you, Lord, that you look at each one as one that matters in this body. I thank you, Lord, that you have a plan and a purpose, and your gospel cannot be stopped. And I thank you, Lord, for the word you're giving us this morning to mobilize this church, to gather us together, to strengthen us with this understanding. This church is a body, the body of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we can't go wrong. You're the head. You're the head. We can't go wrong with our eyes on you. We can't go wrong as we seek to submit to your word. So Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus for each one in this room to live lives of total submission to you in this moment. Lord, what you'll do, we can't even imagine or dream of. But we look ahead with great faith as you gather this church together to function as a body that's unified, even with the diversity of gifts that is within it. We love you, Jesus. We ask you, oh God, to do what only you can do. Please, Lord, take this church to a place of effectiveness and impact, where discipleship is happening, where small groups are multiplied, where leaders are being multiplied, where the gospel is being proclaimed, where unsaved family members are coming to know you. Oh God, we pray that you would do that. In the name of Jesus Christ.